Welcome to Library Voices SC, the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. And this is Curtis Rogers, Communications Director. And I'm happy to have in our studio today Susan Lentz. She is an artist, and she has just finished an installation here at the State Library called Threads Gathering My Thoughts, and that was up September 18th through October 27th. And we really, really loved having it here. So welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here. And it was wonderful to have an installation right in the lobby and to collaborate with the library in order to bring a new dimension to my work. I've had this exhibition, this installation, in several other locations. Each time it's site-specific, meant to incorporate the space that is available, but this time I collaborated with the library, with you, and even the Library of Congress, to use images from South Carolina Mills as an entryway into the masses of threads that I was able to install in the library.
Well, it was really, really fascinating. And, you know, we had a lot of people come in and look at it, and a lot of people, you know, commented on different aspects of it. Actually, before we get into that, why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about, for our listeners, your background and what kind of art you do?
I'm primarily a fiber and installation artist, though I don't actually have a proper academic background in studio arts. My undergraduate degree from The Ohio State University is Medieval and Renaissance Studies. And I loved everything medieval, and it does find its way into some of my artistic expressions, but it wasn't the direct route into becoming a visual artist. Later, when my husband finished his PhD and we moved to South Carolina, I started a little business doing custom picture framing. I look back now and I realize I was getting as close to art as I possibly could without risking making any. First I studied it, then I framed it, and it wasn't until 2001 where I finally had to admit to myself, I want to be a visual artist when I grow up. I've thought about it often. Why fibers? Why thread? Why needles and thread and stitch? I have no good answer. Except maybe it's the tactile quality and the desire to have my hands physically in contact with my materials. And in this installation, they certainly were in direct contact. There are miles and miles of unraveled sewing thread in this installation. And some of the thread was donated to me from people all over the United States and as far away as Canada.
Wow. And, you know, just to describe it for folks, we had three kind of triangular, how would
display
you?
Display units.
Display units, thank you. And had all of your thread, you had come in and draped it over all of those, and intertwined into those were images of South Carolina specific fiber mills from the early 1900s. And it was just beautiful.
Thank you. And it did incorporate stitches because that's how I attach those photographs. Working in collaboration with the library, we agreed that you would mount them onto foam core, and I added little tabs onto the back through which I'd taken stitches and stitched those pieces right onto the display units. So it was more than just an installation. It was me working as a fiber artist in order to pull it off.
Sure, exactly. Too. And what I love is that kind of partnership that we were able to do. And you were great to work with as far as planning and figuring out how we were going to do it. And I think a lot of other libraries, you know, could really learn from that kind of model to, you know, a lot of libraries have the space, they just maybe don't know what to do with it.
That's very true. And it was also wonderful to work with the library. I mean, the discussions we had were short but very productive. Divvying up the things that were needed to be done as to who could do them more easily, and then agreeing on a time. I think we had only one meeting before right. we had this set up and ready to go, and it was seamless.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I mean, that's how it should be. You know, that mm-hmm. might, for some, that might be a rare occurrence, but I think for us it worked really well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your other kinds of work, because you're an international artist. I mean, you've been everywhere.
Yes, and I'd like to talk about one of my installations that has been exhibited at the Festival of Quilts in Birmingham, England. It's another installation, and it's another installation where I have worked with the public, but also with another organization long distance. I worked with a group in England. I am a member there. It's called Through Our Hands. And they wanted me to bring an installation, and it was just a series of emails doing much what our meeting was, determining who would do what in order to bring about the vision we agreed was going to be created. But then the public's input wasn't in the donation of actual materials, but in words. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very appropriate for libraries, even though this particular exhibit here didn't include any words. Much of my work is text-oriented. And this installation called The Wall of Keys was definitely text-oriented. Each found key had a fiber cord and a paper tag onto which I collaged letters spelling out words like the key to happiness, the key to knowledge, success, and there are 2,000 keys.
Wow. That you're talking about a heavy installation.
Well, it did weigh 65 pounds, and in order to take it to England, I had to put it in two different suitcases uh-huh. with little notes to TSA because, yes, of course, they were going to open it up. Uh-huh. But, you know, after you've done knowledge, success, you know, world peace, hope, faith, a couple of other of those typical ones, you start to need some help from the outside. And that was what was really wonderful about sharing with the public, reaching out on social media, but it could easily have been done with the participation of a library and visitors coming in. Another installation I had here in Columbia, well, I think it was 6 years ago. It was called I Do, I Don't. I think it was 6 years ago I made it to celebrate my husband and my 30th anniversary. Mm-hmm. It's 36 years now, unbelievably, so yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I invited the public to share their opinions on both marriage and divorce. Mm. And at the installation itself, there was that public component of, you know, leave your comment. Some of the things that were said were ideas I could never have thought up on my own because I'm coming to even my own artwork with my own background, my own experiences, which are going to be vastly different than somebody else. Mm-hmm. So sharing work through the library is fabulous for me too. It gives me the opportunity to stand back and see how other people enjoy it, look at it, respond to it. And it happened here too. The textile mill over in West Columbia, as soon as this installation was up, contacted me, and I put them in contact with you, mm-hmm. and to enhance the exhibit, they had several artifacts on display. So it was a wonderful way of reaching other people that might never have come to the library, but also putting me in contact with people that, through the library, I got to know.
Right, exactly. When you had let us know that the, I think it's called the Olympia Mill.
Yes.
Museum. It's going to be a new museum that mm-hmm. I think is opening in 2018. And the Olympia area is here in Columbia, South Carolina. And there was a large cotton mill, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they have a number of objects, and some of which they have loaned to us for to be as part of this exhibit. And it was fascinating to build that bridge, you know. Mm-hmm. So looking at everything in conjunction with the printed images that were on the display wall and the printed images that were intertwined and added to the fiber that you installed, and the objects made it really, really an interesting collection.
Yeah, it made a new dynamic to my work, mm-hmm. but also new contacts for the future, too, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for, I think, everybody.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful about installation art and collaboration.
It is, and it really created a conversation.
Mm-hmm. One that might continue in the future.
Right, exactly.
I mean, when they get the museum open, that's a partnership for possibilities for all of us.
Definitely. Tell us a little bit about what different kind of fibers you work with and different ways you manipulate them.
Well, as a fiber artist, many people would say I'm rather pathetic. I don't knit, although I've learned how to knit 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I've forgotten
how to
knit.
It just hasn't caught on.
3 times. I also don't crochet. I don't tat. I don't weave. I don't do any wet felting. I've never worked in tapestry. There are just so many things and different ways of approaching fibers that I don't do. But what I do is stitch. For me, if I can put the thread, or whatever is going to pretend it's a thread, because I'm not opposed to cutting strips of plastic and threading it through a chenille needle.
Mm.
My approach is the interweaving of the fibers through one another and through other objects. So mm-hmm. it's basically stitch. In this installation, it was basically just the material interweaved among itself, untangled. And I looked at it in earlier ways that I mounted it as the tangle of threads that go through anyone's mind at any one time, sort of like a cartoon mm-hmm. with squiggles above that mean you can't think of everything or a different conversation or a different language. As I was unraveling all that thread, I was thinking about people with Alzheimer's, how their threads don't connect anymore. And, you know, all the memories from our past that they say are still in our brain, but we can't always access. What were you doing in second grade for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at a lot of these threads, even conceptually, as going in and out of the concept. That approach, which, you know, I call stitch.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of your work on your blog and your website. And by the way, we'll have a link in our Library Voices SC podcast page to so people can find out more about your work. But what are some of the kinds of museums or galleries that you have done installations in?
It was last year's exhibition proposal winner at the Mesa Contemporary Museum of Art in Mesa, Arizona. And that's the last place, that was the next to the last place that Threads was exhibited. It was then exhibited at Art Fields, a competition, an annual competition in Lake City. But before that, it was here in the Columbia's Vista in 2 different locations. And it started off in a small solo show at the Taps Arts Center on Main Street. Each time it grew, each time I was understanding more about what I was trying to communicate,
mm-hmm.
and each time it was designed to fit the available space. I have an installation right now at Waterworks Visual Arts Center, a regional museum in Salisbury, North Carolina, mm-hmm. with other fiber work. I've had an installation that started at the Taps Center here, but was shown at the Textile Museum in Washington, D.C., and that was really cool. And I've had other installations like the Wall of Keys that have gone to the Festival of Quilts in England. And there's probably another one that I'm going to wake up in the middle of tomorrow night and think, why didn't I mention that one? But I do look for opportunities. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, I have that installation that's currently also at USC Upstate.
Okay.
On their Main Street Gallery. It's called Anonymous Photos, Anonymous Ancestors.
Oh, cool.
It's a passion.
Yeah.
Sort of like the thread.
Right, right. Also, I noticed in some of your updates, I think on your Facebook page, you've been doing some, they kind of look like stained glass windows.
That's the work that I show mostly through galleries. You know, installation art is wonderful. It is passionately done by me. I seek opportunities all the time. It rarely pays for itself. Fortunately, the stained glass and the inbox series is the work that I can sell through galleries. Mm-hmm. And I'm represented by the Grovewood Gallery up in Asheville, okay, and Agio in Blowing Rock. And next week, I'll be part of the Philadelphia Museum of Art Craft Show, which is really, really cool.
That is cool.
It's, along with the Smithsonian, regarded as the very best craft shows, mm-hmm, you know, indoor craft shows in the United States. So it's quite an honor to be among the 190 artists in all craft media selected for this opportunity.
Wow, that's
so I've been working really hard on that, you know, to make sure I've got everything that I want to have and have in reserve for 4 days in the Pennsylvania Convention Center.
Wow, that's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the Smithsonian one in D.C., and that it's such an amazing arts and crafts show.
And if somebody will do me the favor of, like, kind of dying between now and April, I'll get to do it, too, because yesterday I got waitlisted.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but they only take 120, so.
Yeah, and it's an amazing collection.
The Smithsonian Craft Show is, well, that's the goal, one of my big goals in life.
Yep. Well, I see it in your near future.
God willing.
One of the other things we chatted about a little bit earlier before we started the podcast was you had collaborated with who is now Columbia's poet laureate, Ed Madden, on doing a book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, he wrote the poems, and I turned it into a book that was donated to Artist Against AIDS dessert fundraiser a couple of years ago. But I've collaborated on with several other poets, most recently for the Jasper Project called Marked by the Water, a commemoration of Columbia's historic flooding. And it was a literary work as well as a visual display. Mm-hmm. And the poems selected by the editors, I was given the opportunity to select three of them and stitch in fiber. So I've worked with three different poets in bringing their poetry into a visual form.
And through that process, how does the poetry influence you? How does it affect what you do?
I think the greatest effect was having to read the poems that many more times. And each repeated reading, especially when you're stitching the words, which is like reading really, really slow.
Yeah.
I can type a little over 100 words a minute, but I can only stitch for an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going really, really slowly. And Jennifer Bartel was one of the poets. And the more I read the poem, the more I appreciated how succinct she could put feelings about an experience, mm-hmm, that were truly profound.
Wow.
And that is really a gift.
That is.
And
then it relates to how you're going to be doing, mm-hmm, your work.
Yeah. Hmm. It makes the collaboration with a poet seem almost like the poet did the more difficult job, trying to come up with the perfect words. And it made me appreciate literary arts ever so much more. But I think it made other people who gravitate toward visual arts then slow down to read
mm-hmm.
those words that they might have in the publication just, you know, scanned through.
Right, because there's that visual connection. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when people go into museums or galleries, they maybe even tend to walk a little bit more quickly and just wait to see something that pops out at them. Then they read, you know, what the work is or what
mm-hmm.
the title is. But something that is a combination of literary arts and the fiber arts or an art installation is a big difference.
Yeah, I think it makes people slow down a little bit more because we do read, just like we type faster than we can stitch words, at least I can. We can read words so much more quickly when they're in a perfect font on a perfect page.
Right.
And you're going at your normal reading rate. It's different when you're trying to read the words that are much larger on a visual piece of work. And I think it makes a lot of people slow down and appreciate the literary arts.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I think it's such a great opportunity to work with visual artists and literary artists in concert with one another so that libraries could do something different. You know, libraries mm-hmm. have been evolving, of course, with, you know, ebooks and the internet and everything digital. So I think having the ability to pull into other art forms and combine art forms is a real opportunity.
And of course, that leads right into book arts.
Mm-hmm.
And although you're familiar with that long ago collaboration with Ed Madden, I will very often dabble in book arts. I have three pieces right now going to Penn College in Pennsylvania for a national juried show.
Oh, wow.
Called Books Undone, and it's all book arts.
Okay.
And I was very, very honored. I submitted three pieces, and all three were accepted.
Wow.
So
that's
that was really cool.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. A lot of great stuff going on. So, what's some advice you might give a visual artist if they're thinking about doing an installation or collaborating with a library?
I always start on a collaboration in doing the research behind the organization and looking very specifically at the mission statement.
Hmm.
Because if you, as a visual artist, can enhance that mission statement, it's like opening the door.
Mm-hmm.
If the mission is for underserved populations, then bring something that is going to help out with that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, whatever it is that I was thinking about doing, if you just think about it a little ways, you
mm-hmm.
can tweak it and frequently find a new way of expressing your own ideas in addition or from that viewpoint, which will make the collaboration a better one,
mm-hmm.
but also one that will give you the opportunity to go forward.
Right. And conversely, what kind of advice would you give to libraries who maybe are thinking about working with visual artists?
That one's probably harder for me to answer. I would probably say that the advice to a library is to look at someone who finds text and literature to be important in their studio art practice. And almost every artist, at least those with websites,
mm-hmm.
or even, you know, a elaborate Facebook page that's public and might share a statement, these statements will be a good indication. If the person is really only interested in abstracting images from nature, that might not be the best person to collaborate with a library. Mm-hmm. I bring that one up because I love art residencies and I've loved going to national parks, but I have to be very careful. Those national parks that are looking for the person to do plein air, I'm not going to be it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'm looking for the human connection, the book connection. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of artists out there whose approach to making art is, you know, founded in either words or people and relationships to people and cultural more than natural. Mm-hmm. I mean, one isn't necessarily better, but it's more likely that there's going to be the common ground and the common mission.
Definitely. And I know some libraries, for instance, Spartanburg County Public Library here in South Carolina, they have had an artist in residence program, you know, who works with the teen and student, young adult population on different art projects and, you know, taking art from the library out into the community and bringing people into the library for art related projects. So there's just all kinds of opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been a delight talking to you today. We certainly do appreciate all that you've done with us on the installation that just today has been taken down, but we will have pictures of it. So,
yeah, there are lots of really wonderful pictures, and I thank you for that opportunity, but especially for embracing the collaboration, which meant it was not all about me, but all about us.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate it.
Thanks.